The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
See what was up your sleeve? Did you use it? Or
I don't know. What's up yours?
Jason Leisure is kicking Matt Eberflus's ass.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at the Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
You are right about miserable Jason Leisure. He joins us now.
I feel like Stu Gatz doesn't really like this segment.
I think you're great. I think you're miserable.
It might be the one thing that you and I have in common is that we both don't like this segment.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
You want to believe that they're telling you the truth and what they're saying is straightforward, but that, of course, isn't how it works here.
Jason Leisure.
Are you confident in Matt right now, and why or why not?
Am I confident in my head coach? Yes, I'm confident in my head coach.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Jason Leisure has been doing an excellent job of trying to get to the truth of why the Bears are in the situation that they're in. We are lucky to have him once a week break it down for you, the Bears fan, the Score listener. And he joins us now on Spiegel and Holmes. Okay, Mr. Leisure.
Oh boy.
Whew, there's a lot of meat on the bone when it comes to this. How did we get to this place where the Bears felt it necessary to fire their offensive coordinator 10 weeks into a season?
I think Matt Eberflus got to that place this week, just Sunday maybe, because he sure didn't give any indication at any point that he saw this coming. And that is as troubling as the problem itself. That he couldn't see this coming, that a week ago, the first question right out of the gate, the day after the Arizona game when they lost 29-9 with three field goals, was, are you going to change play callers? And his answer was, no. Like, where are you coming with this? And we go from there last week to he's fired this week.
Jason, it's been tremendous, frankly, to watch your coverage and your experience covering Matt Eberflus.
Can I interject for 1 second?
Please.
I love the compliment and I appreciate it. But it's a little overblown because the only thing I'm doing is going in there and asking what the bleep is going on and why, which is a question that any person in any workplace should be able to answer at any time.
I agree. And I don't think you've been inappropriate. I don't think you've been antagonistic. If anything, you and others are firm. And it's totally within reason. But I just happened to delight in your tone. There was a moment in the press conference on Sunday where you said, how do you defend your work? I laughed so hard because, yeah, and he doesn't. He didn't defend his work, you know? And then the next day, Monday, after that empty press conference, you tweeted, there is essentially nothing to report from Matt Eberflus's press conference. And then all of a sudden, it does turn into the statement later today. So is this just his version of a well-executed, or not well-executed, but a plan to say nothing? Or did his mind actually get changed yesterday with input from either players or above, in your opinion?
I think that it is total inefficiency on how to manage public perception for him, which is a big part of the job when you're the head coach. It is not just as simple as football and strategizing and game planning and, you know, who do we keep or cut for the sixth linebacker spot or something like that. You have to be the public face and voice of the organization. You are part of the public relations team when you're the head coach. And the really troubling part is that Matt said he was targeting this weakness in his game in the offseason. And we got the haircut, we got the beard, and what's the third thing we've gotten? Because this stuff just drags out. And if I have to point back to an example other than this of a time when, you know, he just let this PR storm drag out unnecessarily, it was last week or 2 weeks ago off the Tyreek Stevenson issue in Washington. How hard would it have been for him to figure out that night? I mean, these guys don't just go home from the game and go to bed. It's still a work night on Sunday night. They're in the building at 5 or 6 in the morning on Monday. I mean, they're working like all the time. How hard would it have been last week to say, okay, to decide we're gonna sit Tyreek out of the first quarter against Arizona or the first series or whatever the punishment's going to be, and I'm going to disclose that on Monday. Tyreek's going to talk about it Monday. And then where is there to go for us, the media or the news cycle or whoever, from there? It's a one-and-done story. Instead, this thing that Matt knows 2 weeks ago, everyone's going to find out anyway on Sunday when the game starts, is in the news every single day that week, Matt.
Yes.
And this could have – this, you know, now drags on instead of doing this all Monday, doing this all yesterday. This is now something where we press Matt about it on Monday, and then they make the move and put out the statement on Tuesday. And now Thomas Brown and Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus are all going to be talking about this on Wednesday. And he just doesn't seem to understand how to respond to these crises or bad public relations situations. You want to hit these things head on. You want to acknowledge for everyone how bad it is. Nobody wants to hear for the last 40 years the Chicago Bears coach come up there and say, it's not as bad as it looks. You know, we had 3 really good games against the Jaguars, the Panthers, and the Washington Generals or whatever. Like, or last year it was, hey, we're 2-2 in our last 4. Like, that's a trophy or something. You have to acknowledge how bad it is and then convey that you've specifics on how you've got this under control and then wrap it up. And he never does that.
That's so well said and correct. I'm going to give you guys a little allegory as we go. Allegory, second time in the show. Something that I heard that's good for personal life, but is good for public pressure as well. When the rain comes on the plains, the cow runs from the rain, and the rain usually just chases them. The buffalo runs into the rain because they know that's the fastest way to get through it. You know what I mean? It's like Matt Eberflus, head coaches should go through go through the effing rain. Stand up there, take it, say what it is, and then move on so you don't get bogged down with garbage the rest of the week. That's your allegory for the day.
We had a time last year where Andrew Janoco, the quarterback's coach, was talking to us about Justin Fields. And he's like, Justin's like the oak tree. And when it rains, all of the animals from the forest come under it for shelter. And we're sitting there and we're like, really? And then afterward, at some point, we're like, is that from something, Andrew? He goes, nah, I just made it up.
Well, I want to hang out with that guy.
That's interesting. From people that you've talked to about this, what was the disconnect between Waldron and an offense?
Well, the play calling is a big problem. The play calling is not intuitive. The play calling was not built toward the scheme, and play calling was not built toward players' strengths. You heard players begging practically early in the season for him to come out with a, you know, first 15 plays scripted because that helps them prepare. He was in so many ways not a good schemer, if you want to call it. I don't know what the word is for strategist, and not a good communicator. And that was exactly the basis for hiring him in the first place, was that those were strengths.
I'm struggling with that. Like, that part of it for me.
Yeah, the hiring process
is a
man.
Problem.
It should be.
How now, like, considering what happened with coordinators last year, how many people have been fired from their jobs as coaches for the Bears, what is going on with how they go about hiring coaches? Because, Jason, here's my thing. I don't understand how Shane Waldron could get in a room with Matt Eberflus, who I acknowledge and celebrate how good he is at defense. How can a guy who's that good at defense listen to Shane Waldron explain offense and go, yeah, that's my guy?
Especially when they interviewed eight other people, including the guy who is now going to be the offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown. So now the plan is, I hope the guy we didn't hire underscores what a terrible decision it was to hire the guy that we did hire by outperforming how we originally assessed him, meaning Thomas Brown, which is just like amazing that you end up there. The three coordinators who have left, two of those are squarely on Matt Eberflus. The Luke Getsy hire was rushed. Maybe you can, you know, maybe they're at fault a little bit as an organization for that, because it took them so long to hire Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus that a lot of coordinator candidates had been snatched up by then, but they have been pretty clear that they rushed the Luke Getsy hire. And Alan Williams was a guy that Matt Eberflus knew for a long time and brought in. And now this, Shane Waldron, this was supposed to be lesson learned for Ryan Poles, especially, and for Matt Eberflus as well. Say, okay, we know what we're doing. We're firing Luke Getsy right away at the end of the season, and we are doing a thorough, efficient search for a new coordinator. And this is what you ended up with, and not Cliff Kingsbury, who's thriving in Washington, not Thomas Brown, who's been a head coaching candidate and now is going to be your offensive coordinator. I mean, it's stunning. I don't know what lesson they could say that they learned from this. And their rationale at the time, the rationale that I was given on Shane Waldron, it was sound logic. It made sense. But to your point, Lawrence, I mean, I just can't picture how these interviews went well.
Yeah, you know, I remember them saying that they liked Waldron. And I remember thinking, Jason, that Waldron fit kind of a sweet spot in that he was capable of running the entire offensive room and the entire offense, as he did under Pete Carroll, a defensive-minded head coach, for 3 years. But he wasn't a threat as a potential head coach or a potential personality. And you're chuckling. Does that sound like a fit in terms of a head coach?
I mean, never hire somebody who's good enough to replace you, I guess.
Well, that's a scary thing, and it feels like it's been part and parcel of the way that the Bears have done things sometimes. Do you have a take or any intel on why Cliff Kingsbury wouldn't comment on what happened during his Bears interview during the Commanders week? He was asked about that, and he just wouldn't even comment on that entire thing.
Probably because it's a team that he doesn't work for. It doesn't serve him in any way to talk about that. He doesn't want to be known as a guy that's going to go and talk about, you know, meetings and interviews that they had behind closed doors. I don't know that I'd read that much into that.
Okay. Because that's certainly a guy who might threaten in a way that Waldron would not.
Well, I mean, for sure. That's you have to wonder about that. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury's pretty cool.
How do you make over
not necessary.
No, he doesn't need anyone to help him.
Well, you remember when they had the draft from their houses?
Picture
him at his
exquisite
house.
The place that we went to go eat, we were right down the street from Cliff's house.
When you and I went out to dinner in Scottsdale, was by Cliff's house?
Yeah, okay. We were right down the street from where Cliff that gorgeous house that he had out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That was Cliff's house with just, you know, very sparse, classy stuff.
Minimalist.
Yeah, minimalist and big windows to show the world outside. And then there's Matt Nagy's house.
I think it's to see inside. So I think Cliff was like, hey,
come look at this. Come look at this.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then there's Matt Nagy's house with plays all over the walls, right? Plays and players.
And then there's
stuff.
Matt Eberflus's house, which is baller up on the North Shore,
sure,
on the lakefront.
And his bees and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's something.
When we went out to dinner last week in Arizona, by the way, that was a classic, typical Lawrence Holmes hangout for me, where no matter where you are, somebody will come running up to you and be like, hey, well, aren't you Lawrence Holmes? And
even
Lawrence
in Arizona,
Holmes' friend?
Even in Arizona.
Aren't you Lawrence Holmes? Aren't you a guy with Lawrence Holmes? Yes,
not,
I am.
That's not true. I always introduce you. People know who you are. When they hear the name, they figure out that Jason Leisure is on it.
Hey, I like Thomas Brown, by the way.
Tell us.
I was going to ask you, like, what have your interactions with him been like?
Immediately took to him. I immediately liked this guy. Immediately is like, this guy's cool. This guy is a big thinker. This guy is super likable, good communicator. This strikes me immediately as a guy who was brought here as a contingency plan. It's funny now. As a contingency plan in case things went so well with Shane Waldron that he got hired as a head coach somewhere else, that this guy would be right in line to keep continuity as their new offensive coordinator. The thing about Thomas Brown, who is 38, he got his first major job, by the way, at 30. He was the offensive coordinator for the Miami Hurricanes at 30. I mean, he is a rising star. He was Sean McVay's assistant head coach with the Rams. He was a candidate for at least the Dolphins when they've had a head coaching opening recently. But the thing about Thomas Brown is he gets these opportunities and they're so mangled
backwards
by the time he steps into them. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator and play caller in Carolina last year. I can't assess anybody's time in Carolina for anything under that ownership and that dysfunction. I mean, how do you grade what somebody did with the Carolina Panthers? And now Thomas Brown steps into a situation that's wrecked and he's got to fix it against just an absolute gauntlet of a schedule, not just in terms of all these teams are good that the Bears will play the rest of the season, but they're all really good defense, really good pass defenses. They do not face everybody that they play the rest of the year. And this is something to take note of for Caleb Williams as well. Everyone they play is in the top half of the league in opponent passer rating.
Have the we have a lot more on Thomas Brown the rest of this hour, in fact, from Lawrence Holmes and I. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show on 670 The Score. Jason, there's a game in like, not too many days, like five of them, I think. And did their delay the natural goings on for a week? Like, would they have been moving on to game plan and install as soon as yesterday? Obviously, with the day off today, they can do all of that. Is it, you know, how does this change affect the timeline just during a game week?
It's still for Thomas Brown as the play caller, it's not ideal. It's not the time you would want to start thinking about what plays am I going to call against Green Bay. Even if they made that decision 1 second after Matt Eberflus walked out of the press conference on Monday, you would like to have been kind of pre-working on that, kind of at least like thinking about what you'd want to run against Green Bay. So it is disjointed either way.
What's your feeling on what's happened? Like, and kind of quietly now, players are feeling a little bit more comfortable talking about the quarterback's role in this. So when you look at the failures of the Bears offense, what's fair to assess as being Caleb's role in its ineffectiveness?
Caleb has some things that he needs to work on. Caleb, his throwing accuracy has been problematic all year, which is puzzling even to him, I think. And his awareness in the pocket is so interesting to me because there are times when you watch him and you're wondering whether he realizes how close guys are to him. And then he gets the ball out, and it's like, does he have no idea who's near him, or does he have every idea who's near him? Is he completely clueless at times in the pocket, or is he a genius in the pocket? Does he know that well that it's just the right time to get the ball? It's really hard to tell. But when he's getting sacked on these third downs where they're in field goal range and then costing them points by doing that, I mean, anybody, you or me or any Matt, I mean, anybody could get the ball out for an incompletion in that situation. That's football. That's 101. Now, outside of that, there's so many other problems around him. And I mean, starting with as they try to get everything right for this guy, as Ryan Poles tries to nail every aspect of onboarding Caleb Williams and then really misses on a huge factor by leaving Matt Eberflus in charge of this and by extension Shane Waldron. It's a total mess right now. But the sitting him down makes no sense. taking him out doesn't make any sense. He needs to play. He needs to get the reps. And there's another issue here with Caleb Williams, and the way we look at his rookie season is it's skewed by two things. One, he walked onto a win-now roster. And I still think this should be a playoff roster.
I agree with you.
I think this has been totally mismanaged by Matt Eberflus and his staff. And two, we had enormous expectations for Caleb Williams that he was not like everybody else who comes into the league as a first-round pick, as a rookie. We thought this is once every few years there's a guy like this. This guy is ready. He's going to figure it out fast, no later than halfway through the season. And he's not. And you look across the field and you see Drake May on Sunday throws for like 150 yards and a 70 passer rating or something, scores 19 points. And you sit there on a team like New England that doesn't have that roster and isn't trying for anything this year. You say, okay, yeah, that's all right. That's kind of an okay game for a rookie quarterback. Drake May, you know, seems like he's on his way. And I think Caleb's season with different expectations would probably be viewed a lot like that. You'd say, okay, a lot of ups and downs. Sometimes it looks really bad. And against some bad defenses, we've seen the flashes where it's looked really good. It's kind of a typical rookie season.
One last quickie thing for you, Jason. You think Doug Kramer's on the active roster on Sunday now that Shane Waldron is gone and now that Ryan Bates is back and Nate Davis has gone home? I mean, Doug Kramer got obliterated there in the middle of that offensive line.
Well, he plays other positions, Matt.
Which one? The mini fridge position?
I mean, we could try him out at all kinds of things, you know? Maybe he'd be a good slot receiver. We did hit a point. I think they need him because I just don't know what they've got offensive line-wise.
Yeah,
I
mean, but Bill Murray's still hurt, right?
I was sitting there at one point Sunday at the game just trying to look through bios to see did they have a defensive lineman who had previously played offensive line just to figure out who would be their emergency options if they got down to it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, especially since the O-line room was as deep as Ryan Poles has ever seen it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jason Leisure, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jason. There's a lot of stuff about Thomas Brown that you have, that Tanny pulled, that I have, that we've been dying to get into. This is the new guy, and we can really bring the listeners up to speed with some intel.
It's interesting, too, when you have a guy that is put in a position like this, and you start to go look backwards and say, okay, how did this guy get to this place? What are the things that he does well? What are people are expecting from him? I don't know if, I guess maybe excited is the word that I would use, but I do want to see, like, I'm curious on what will look different from what they've done to what they now want to do. So let's dive into the resume of one Thomas Brown and talk about that situation in Carolina.
Woo, boy.
And how he ended up in that spot. That's next here on the...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
You know, what I like about it, it's hard to move on from great coaches, but you also get a chance to learn from a lot of new coaches. And so that's what's been fun. But, you know, I worked with Richard Hightower. I worked with Chris Morgan, not here, but in Washington. And then obviously Thomas Brown and Shane Waldron, great coaches. And so, you know, those guys were instrumental in a lot of good things here. And you can see they've done great stuff, you know, when they've gone elsewhere.
Sean McVay talking about a bunch of coaches on the staff, but also talking about one Thomas Brown, who is now the offensive coordinator for your Chicago Bears.
Look, the Sean McVay tree, as we used to talk about the Andy Reid tree or the Mike Holmgren tree or the Bill Walsh tree, the McVay tree is now a thing. And some people are great and some people have scuffled. Zach Taylor and the Bengals, I think you'd call that a big time success.
That's a win.
Matt LaFleur, you could
that's
debate
a win.
You could debate whether that's a McVay guy or a Shanahan guy.
And it's okay to be both.
Sure it is.
It's honestly kind of the best of both worlds.
Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
That's a win.
That too looks like a win. And then there's some defensive guys like Brandon Staley.
I would say that it was a win for a while, and then it was not.
And then there are other guys like who have just become coordinators and never risen head coach, like Shane Waldron. So Waldron and Thomas Brown were on the same staff with McVay. But you know what's cool about Thomas Brown when he was with McVay, among other things? McVay molded him as a head coach. He made him the tight ends coach.
He saw something.
100%. He molded him and said, I'm going to make you the tight end coach. That's a job McVay had before he became an offensive coordinator for the first time, because he thinks the tight ends coach for a guy on the rise is somewhere where you really learn to read the defenses and read what the responsibilities are for both the offensive line and the skill positions, that it's a pivotal spot. So he likes Thomas Brown, McVay does, a lot, going back a lot of years.
And made him associate head coach.
Yes,
like,
sir.
It wasn't just that he was, but he clearly was trying to put him on a path.
Assistant head coach the same year as he was the tight end coach.
And
yes.
I think that that's really interesting that he tried to do that. Tom Pelissero did a breakdown of this. Like, he did a walking like interview and a history of Thomas Brown as a player and as a coach. And we have it so you can kind of build your dossier on the new OC of the Bears.
He's one of the greatest competitors I've ever been around. You know, that's why he's also the assistant head coach.
I mean, you play running back, dog, you run.
You're a very good player all through high school, all through college. So you get into the league,
yep.
you're living your dream. And then the injury.
My rookie year to the last preseason game, and I get horse collar. Completely rips my groin off the bone. And of course, my dreams were to go play in the league, maybe play 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and go retire and sit on the beach somewhere. I didn't even get it started. That was part of my passion to get back into coaching because of my experience trying to move on past the game of football.
Through the course of your career, you've been around some pretty good running backs.
I have. My first stop was at University of Wisconsin. So it was this guy by the name of Melvin Gordon. Had an opportunity to go back to Georgia where there was a guy by the name of Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel. Two back-to-back rooms was kind of loaded with NFL talent, which kind of forced me to kind of grow and stretch, but also learn from the players as well.
Coach TB, one guy I could really rely on.
You go way back with Stafford, and you and Sean go way, way back.
We do. I mean, we had some extreme battles back in high school.
What are the tools that you think you've picked up?
You know, first and foremost, Sean is by far and away the best communicator I've been a part of. Have the opportunity to be able to kind of see firsthand what an elite head coach looks like has been a blessing.
Hey, yo, 11, 11.
So to move over to tight ends, how, if at all, do you think that that helps you?
It's been awesome for me to kind of grow from a development standpoint, but also step myself in a different room.
He's always had that big picture perspective. He's really attacked the role with the right mindset and mentality.
Chest tuck burst every time. Put away faster. Good, there you go, good, perfect, perfect.
How would you describe your coaching style?
I'm definitely energetic. Hey, old fan, come around the back.
Very matter of fact, securing himself, very demanding of his guys.
Every rep a game rep, full speed.
Stafford gets away, looking, throwing, caught. Higbee's got a first down.
It's about relationships, connecting with guys, starting to figure out how every guy in my room ticks, and it's my job to bring the best out of that player.
for my job, man. Make you right.
To me, nothing prepares me more to become a head coach in my job right now. So being locked in as the assistant head coach, the tight ends coach, helping Sean in every way aspect possible, it also brings life our players and trying to elevate those guys from a production standpoint. Been wired that way in my entire life. You set a goal, you make a goal. Okay, what's next?
If we can go back to, and thanks to NFL Network, Tom Pelissero, for that breakdown on Thomas Brown. If we can go back to what we were talking about earlier, like when we were discussing the hiring process, what I love about this and why I would love to be a coach for Sean McVay is that he's so confident in his standing as head coach that there isn't a fear of hiring someone and then being like, you know what? That guy's got the thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the thing. Mm-hmm. He might be head coaching material. Let me put him in positions that are going to allow for him to grow as a coach. And he's doing it without ego and fear.
Yes, that's very well said. And I think that has been a problem in the Eberflus hiring practices. I think that has absolutely been a problem. I love in there that you hear him talk about him and McVay. They were rivals in high school football. So they went against each other as high school players. And
let me make sure I got this right, because yes, I think it's one of my favorite things about Sean McVay. Sean McVay beat out Calvin Johnson for high school player of the year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think I got that right.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That is amazing. But yes, certainly told to get ready to be a head coach and made the assistant head coach and eventually the tight end coach after being a running back coach. Also, just, I found myself giggling because listen to the way that he talks and communicates and has like an energy and like a quickness to him. And like, oh, words come out easy. It's like,
well, let's hope that is something that will be allowed to flourish. And yes, I was right.
It's not Waldron-esque is all I'm saying.
In this from the USA Today. As a dual threat quarterback, he was one of the best in the state. In fact, McVay was so talented that he beat out Calvin Johnson for Georgia State Player of the Year in 2003.
Unbelievable.
At Marist, isn't that where
Marist
Manly went?
Yeah, Marist is Manly. And then we put on a guest from Marist.
Omari Hardwick, too, right? I think they were teammates at Marist.
Buck Farmer, the catcher and shortstop one time for the Cincinnati Reds, is a Marist guy.
I mean, this is pretty good. At Marist, McVay rushed for 2,600 yards and 40 touchdowns and threw for 2,500 yards and 18 touchdowns.
That's awesome. That's a great nugget. I love the textures. I'm sorry, but Waldron literally never sounded that confident and smart.
I agree with you. And maybe that is the confidence of being an ex-player, maybe a guy that made it to the NFL even though he didn't get to continue his NFL dream.
Yes. Let me go ahead and say this now, because I said it during the hiring process for anybody who remembers. Thomas Brown is future head coach material. If for some reason this thing clicks in a different way, or you see some stuff that you like, and it might not go that way because things are so bad and so disjointed, but if it clicks, I'll go ahead and get on record right now that the concept of him, not Shane Waldron, not ever, but the concept of Thomas Brown as a potential promote to head coach and get rid of the de facto defensive coordinator who has been overpromoted to begin with. That is a concept that as a human from the Thomas Brown perspective and a leader from the Thomas Brown perspective actually has legs.
Gerald Everett was on those teams out in L.A. Here's what he had to say about Thomas Brown as a teacher.
Again, just a great teacher. I mean, we're grown men here in this profession, and to be a grown man coaching another grown man, you have to have something about yourself just to kind of relay that message to a group of grown men. And I think Thomas and Shane did a great job in doing that. And I think he's going to do a great job here as well.
That's Gerald Everett right there. And do we have time to get to TJ Edwards right here? TJ Edwards from our midday show, or should we do it when we come back? All right, we'll do it when we come back.
And we can address something that people are asking about. They're like, well, wait, the Carolina thing last year, he was in charge of that. Well, what about that? We will discuss that because it comes with context. There's some things that you need to understand about that situation that as a Bears fan might make you feel better than just looking at the results. That's next. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
Yeah, so we're fortunate that Thomas went through it last year. You know, he was at Carolina, obviously, and so we got to glean some information from him. We certainly talked to guys throughout the league that have had this early pick, you know, at quarterback, and got a lot of good information.
What are you
from those guys?
Just practice reps or psychology? Or
everything. Everything, the whole process. You would go through the whole process of that. And, you know, certainly have good friends in the league that you would lean on to talk to that about. And we certainly got some good information for those guys.
North Carolina! Anytime that Petey Pablo comes on, I'm going to address it. And I appreciate Chris Tannehill for playing it.
I appreciate the cultural exchange, which gets me to hang out and listen to Petey Pablo.
Take his shirt off.
In an afternoon when I probably would not have on my own. So thank you.
You should.
Yeah?
Tanny and I had a really good conversation about the latest Common album. We had similar thoughts about the latest Common album. I did listen to the last Childish Gambino album this week while we were in Vegas.
Ooh.
I enjoyed it way more than I thought was going to.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, he does a lot of cool stuff sonically.
That's a talented man.
Yeah.
That is a multifaceted, talented individual.
My guy, Tony Gill, a long time ago said top five in the business right now as far as talent goes.
He also said that Migos is a modern-day Beatles.
He did, and we slapped his hand down for that because it's really ridiculous. I think he actually might have a point on Childish Gambino, though. When you look at the show that he created, Atlanta, the music that he's created, his acting ability, he might have a point about Donald Glover. Anyway.
It didn't go well for Thomas Brown in Carolina last year. After he took over, Frank Reich was the offensive guru, the head coach, and the play caller to start the year. They went 1-10, and Frank Reich got the boot. And even before he got the boot, Thomas Brown took over. He did what, last six games, I think it was?
Here's the breakdown. Our friend Carmen Vitale of Fox Sports.
The first six games.
She put out a very long tweet this morning when the announcement was made, and I thought that it added a really important layer of context to Carolina last year. She writes, "One thing I think should be clarified about new Bears OC Thomas Brown is that for a large portion of the season last year in Carolina, Brown was not the offensive play caller. Head coach Frank Reich was. Brown took over the duties the final six games after Reich was fired, and prior to that, he had called plays just one full game in October after Carolina started 0-6, and then the final drive versus the Texans where the Panthers scored a game-winning field goal for their first win of 2023. Prior to last year, Brown had multiple interviews for OC, including the Bears, an interview for the Titans' head job after they fired Vrabel. Brown spent 3 years in L.A. with the Rams as Sean McVay's running back coach before that. It's an uphill battle considering we're over halfway through the NFL season, but I was seeing too many people attributing Bryce Young's first season to Brown, and that's not the full story."
That is excellent context. So not the play caller for the bulk of that year, and given the job for one game after the 0-6 start, and then given the job for the final few games of the year, right? And so you give all that context. I will add this tweet from Thomas Brown's wife.
Oh.
Last December 10th. As unearthed by Connor Allen.
Is this source reliable?
I'm going to say yes.
Are we sure it's her account?
Yes.
Do you trust something your wife says about you in a public space? Would you trust Steen?
Yes. Three for three. So I feel good about moving forward. But thank you.
How are you doing today?
Solid. Thank you for asking. Appreciate it. Feel like it's been a good show. I like this show. Connor Allen said, "Remember that the Panthers had no talent, and Thomas Brown's wife mentioned that he was essentially just a placeholder. The last two games, it looked like they were just running the ball to end the game sooner." That was the observation, right? Here was the tweet. A Charlotte sports fan tweeted this last December, Lawrence. You ready? "If we're keeping it a buck, Thomas Brown should be fired tomorrow." And then Thomas Brown's wife replied with this. "We are fired. We just have to stay behind because someone has to call plays. If you guys know someone else to do the next 4 weeks, give Tepper a holler. Laughing, crying face emoji. As if this is fun for us. Dude, how about that?
I like her.
Dude, I like her too. And the truth is, you got to finish out a season, which frankly is our reality. Like, they maybe if they've been hesitant to fire Flus, then who are they going to promote? John Hoke, or promote Richard Hightower, or somebody else who's never done it before? Or promote Eric Washington? They could promote Thomas Brown. I mean, all of that. But if they didn't want to, they didn't want to fire Waldron, well, we got to scramble. At least they have a guy in house who has called plays before. So you worry about turning into a, we're just getting through the season. Let's just run the ball to get through the damn season. When you've got a kid like Caleb, they had a kid like Bryce Young, and that's what it turned into down there.
But that's the last few games. I think that the situation is different because Carolina was clearly not going anywhere last year. Even if we saw Bryce Young play like Jaden Daniels, I don't think they were going anywhere because they didn't have a lot of talent. I imagine that inside the Bears locker room, there are people that, even with their problems, going, guys, we still have a chance. All of our games inside the division are right in front of us, and all we need to do is win the next game.
Well, let's hear how TJ Edwards feels about Thomas Brown in this moment as the 4-5 Bears have replaced their offensive coordinator. Here's TJ with our midday show earlier today.
Yeah, so my freshman year at Wisconsin, he was a running backs coach when I showed up. So he had, you know, Melvin Gordon and all those things. So along with Coach Beatty as well, the receivers coach. So it's kind of crazy when I came in here this year to see those guys, and just haven't seen them for a while. It's awesome to see. And going against Coach Brown last year in Carolina and things like that, I know dude is just an absolute workhorse. I mean, he's a hands-on guy who wants to see everything that the players are seeing, and a guy who truly loves what he does. And I know that he's going to bring some juice. I do. I know he's going to bring some energy. And I'm excited to see it. I am excited to see kind of where we go. But I know that it's never just one thing, right? So we got to kind of that is what it is right now. But as a defense, and that's what I'm focused on, is how we can stop these teams that are coming in here.
Juice and energy are great, okay? What I want is accountability. What I want is someone to really think it out what the game plan is going to be. I am all for the energy, and I think that when you hear it in Thomas Brown's voice, that it gives you a little bit of hope. I want that to be matched with him looking at the opponent and finding the best way to use all the weapons that the Bears have. I want those practices. I want players to be like, yeah, our practices have been a lot more crisp now that he has taken over, that we feel like, even if we lose, we are doing it the right way instead of leaving points and opportunities on the table like the Bears have done over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, that's fair, man. That's I would add to that, I would want him to forge a connection with the quarterback where he figures out what the quarterback can do and what the quarterback can't do. And the quarterback is comfortable saying, as Kurt Warner has said to us before, as others have intimated, that they have a thing where the quarterback's like, you know what, I'm having a hard time with that. All right, let's take it out. Let's just do stuff that you can do and build it.
Or why are you having a hard time
both,
with it?
Because
that right there can be the difference between throwing a play away and saying, well, have you looked at it from this point of view? This is why we're doing this.
This is part of a larger thing that I keep thinking about, but like, the ask of Caleb is not the ask I expected. Like, they, you know, like,
well,
hold on to that. Because the ask has been big.
We can talk about that inside of our next segment. We are going to get back to talking about the news of the day, the fact that Shane Waldron has been fired. We'll throw all that into a gumbo for you. Stick around. The last hour of Spiegel and Holmes is next on The Score.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The Nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.